Will you pray with me? Gracious God, the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to John. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to my Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also. This is a scripture that is familiar even if you are not a Christian. The words are very famous. And it's a scripture that is about many, many, many things. It's about Jesus comforting his followers that where he goes, they will go also. That he will come and take them to him. It is a passage that proclaims that if we see Jesus, we have seen God. That we cannot see God face to face, but our hearts should not be troubled, for we have seen God through Christ. When we gaze upon the face of Jesus, we are looking at the face of God. This passage from John is most often used at services of remembrance for people who have died. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. There is a room especially for each one of us, it says. It's also a passage that is famous for many other things, including defining what it means to be a Christian. The interpretation is that the only way to salvation is through Christ. That is what is most often said about it, because the only way to God is through belief in Jesus. Of course, this text has raised questions for centuries about what does it mean to be Christian? Is a Christian someone who believes certain things, that Jesus was the Son of God, or believes in a virgin birth, or believes maybe that other religions are wrong? Or does being a Christian mean that we do certain things, like going to church or getting baptized or doing good deeds? Or does being a Christian mean that you're really just a nice person? If we look at the passage closely, Jesus' words from John are that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father but through him. But what he doesn't say is that any particular ethic or doctrine or religion was the way. He didn't say by believing anything particular that we could come to God. It seems he is saying that we come to God through Christ by participating in his life, being caught up in the way he lived, the way of life he embodied. Jesus did not say that you must live in him in a certain way or even a certain religion. That is why the scripture gets misused so often, and I could not let this pass if I didn't say, speaking of misuse, I'm glad you're all here today. I'm pretty sure that if the rapture had occurred, I would not be beamed up. Because by what's his name's standards? I've forgotten his name already.
Harold Camping.
By Pastor Camping's standards, most of us wouldn't make it. But it's this misuse of the text that really often makes me sad. I mean, we laugh and we sit and we kind of say how silly it sounds when people try to do this, take a text from the Bible and make these dire predictions. But it also is sad because it takes the focus off of what it is that we are really supposed to be doing in Jesus' name. And it makes a lot of us have a harder time conveying that message when there are people who are doing what he was doing. What Jesus came to call us to be and to do is what the messages of the gospel are always about. He says in this gospel passage that if we want to know God, if we want to follow him, we should look at the works he did. He said, if you don't believe me, then look at the works themselves, he says. And what did he do? He healed many. Blind Bartimaeus, the man with legions of demons, Peter's mother, Jairus' daughter, the woman with the hemorrhage. He called the faithful to be more open and accepting. He loved the outcast. He loved the leper. He loved the oppressed. He forgave everyone, even the ones who hurt him. And the one miracle that is in all four of the Gospels, the only miracle that's in all four of the Gospels, is that he fed 5,000 people with very little. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these. Greater works than Jesus did? I guess I never noticed that part before. When Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, oh, Lord, yes, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He didn't say start a church. He didn't say write a doctrine. He didn't say create the book of discipline. He didn't say have an annual conference, a charge conference, a general conference, and a jurisdictional conference. He said, feed my sheep. If we follow Christ, if we trust that he has shown us God, if he really has shown us God, then the question that we have to ask collectively is, how many people can we heal? How many people can we include? How many people can we forgive? And how many people can we feed? We heard Pastor Lynn's statistics, and they make us very quiet. There's no laughter, there's nothing. And it's because we find them appalling, don't we? We find them sad. But if you hear Jesus over the centuries, believe in me and you can do so much more. So much more. You can feed all my sheep. And all of this, of course, takes a faith that is committed and courageous. I love that song that Pastor John sang. Don't just cling to God the rock. God is the river. I don't know about you, but the letting go part is the hard part. You don't know where it leads. You don't know what you'll be called to do. You have no idea what you'll be asked. And if you can hold on to that rock and say, this is my God, this is my rock of salvation, it still has an awful lot of clinginess, doesn't it? It's this part that the gospel asks from us. Flow down that river See where God leads you. See what God asks of you. See who God leads you to. What does it mean to be a Christian? It is a question that only each of us can answer personally. You have to ask yourself when you listen to the gospel, what is the purpose of following Christ? Frederick Buechner, who is one of my very favorite writers, wrote that a Christian is one who is on the way, though not necessarily very far along it, and who has at least some dim and half-baked idea of whom to thank. A Christian isn't necessarily any nicer than anybody else, just better informed. We are a blessed people, to be certain. We come here with the freedom to come and seek our God. We come here with an openness to know our God. And we have been blessed by the life and teachings of Jesus, who shows us the way, the truth, and the life. We are truly blessed to be so well informed. Jesus ends this passage with another one of those moments. Ask for anything in my name and I will do it. But I'm thinking that when we hear that, might we take a step back and on our knees we put our soul and we ask this day and each that God will guide us on our path to become people who are willing to heal, to include, to forgive, and to feed. Let our prayer be a thank you that we have seen God through the life of Jesus Christ. And that means we have seen the face of God. Let us answer the call. Let us let go and flow into that river. Let us go and do the works of our Christ, who has blessed us all. Amen.